Happy Sabbath to everyone. Yes, such a lovely day. There is a priest, a minister, and a rabbit that walks into a bar. The bartender gives the old, "What are you doing here?" look to the rabbit, and the rabbit says, "Hey, don't blame me, it's autocorrect." That has nothing to do with the sermon. Maybe best even just to edit that out. Reflecting on this past year, the election views on those running, some of the challenges and struggles we have as a culture, I think it goes to a concept of submission. The term and concept of submission is hardly ever heard. As a matter of fact, it's when you think about submission and submitting one to another, it is you don't hear it, for example, in common wedding ceremonies today. If you attend a wedding ceremony that is not part of the Church of God, you will generally not hear the concept of submission, and it is not widely accepted. As a matter of fact, if you're considered to be a leader or a successful professional athlete or fill in the blank, being submissive is contrary to being successful. Students, are they willing to submit to their teachers? Or for us to submit to local and state government, it's an environment that is the antithesis of God's way. When there is strife, wherever it may occur, it is likely the result of either one or both sides of the party not willing to yield to each other. Today, I would like to review the importance of submission in Christ's life, and how it remains integral in our walk to the kingdom of God. What is our responsibility to submission? Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 7 to begin. James chapter 4 and verse 7. We read, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The statement that James wrote is in a response to, in essence, verses 1 through 6. Because therefore, whenever you read therefore in Scripture, it's typically a summation, a result, a point that is going to be made based upon what was shared before. And so, James writes, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, and you do not receive," we read in verse 13, "you adulteresses, so you do not know that friendship," in verse 5, or do you think that the scriptures speak to no purpose? "He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God." Now, I would probably not get much argument from most people, even those outside of the household of faith, that we should submit to God. But, of course, that means different things to different people. But the direction we see in scriptures of submission extend beyond a submission to God. If you look at the Greek, or what is often translated submission, it is hupotasso. For those of you who enjoy looking up your, getting that 20-pound book off the shelf and looking up a Strong's Concordance, it's Strong's number 5293, or you can look it up on the computer, probably easier. But hupotasso, and it is the definition is to arrange under, to subordinate, to subject, put in subjection, to submit one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice. It comes from a Greek military term meaning to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. But in a non-military use and how it was applied, it is a voluntary attitude of giving in, and a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. If we read, and we will read some examples in scriptures, though we see the concept of submission being beyond simply submitting to God. So let's look at those different examples. I've grouped them in this way, that the first area of submission is submitting at the individual or relationship level. Submitting at the individual or relationship level. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. We read, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." It is a relationship level. But guys, we're not off the hook. Let's just go back one verse where Paul writes to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. To be subject to one another. We also look at verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." And then down in verse 31, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." The responsibility, and two great examples here. First of all, what we just read in verse 31 is that two becoming one flesh. Paul doesn't describe it as a military unit with two distinct levels. It is one flesh. And for there to be one flesh, you must be willing to submit to one another. And once again, in verse 21, being subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Here, Paul is referring to the relationship that the church and church members should have to one another, submitting to one another. For there to be one body, similar to two becoming one flesh, the same analogy applies. For church members to become one body, we must be willing to submit to one another. Submission happens at the individual or the relationship level. There's submission to those in authority. We read about submission to those in authority. Let's look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, in verse 1. Romans 13, in verse 1. "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Very clear instructions about our view towards those in authority, in this case, civil authority. Let's look at 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 13. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. We may have a problem if we try to go to chapter 13 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 of verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, for use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Paul describes the concept of submitting to authority as being a messenger, as being an example, in essence, of what God is, who he is. We may ask ourselves, though, but what about those in authority who are not the sharpest tool in the shed? If they're really not worth showing respect to, I assume that it's okay then. Authority no longer applies. Verse 18, we read, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." The question of submission is for our benefit. The reason why we practice submission is to develop a righteousness that comes from God. It develops a maturity. It develops a state of mind that is for our benefit and, as we read, for God's benefit. That our effect on submission to authority, once again, was a messenger, was an example. Having spent quite a few years in the workplace and having experienced both good and bad bosses, times when I didn't handle it so well. Because needless to say, there are times you run across folks you simply don't agree with because of just differing opinions or they may not be very capable. But at the end, it's the definition of authority and these scriptures don't change based upon who is in authority. So we have submission, once again, at the individual and relationship level. We have submission to those in authority. We also have submission to the church and elders. Let's read a couple of examples to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. First Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. "Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and the labors." I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Clear instruction once again for Paul, for those who are an authority, and as far as in the church, those who are sent. So look at 1 Peter chapter 5 as another example. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Because we're not only talking about ordained ministry or those who might be in authority, but also we read as an example in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, the instructions to the younger men of the congregation: you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, or the elders, as some translations might be. For some of us, this may rub us the wrong way. Just as historically, maybe husbands have not held up their end of the bargain on how to lead with love, some elders, or could ministry or non-ministry or male, female, doesn't matter, they maybe have not demonstrated a service reflective of God's love. This does not, however, change God's scriptures and his expectation for us. Once again, the idea around submission is to benefit us, is to benefit us. But once again, we see clear scriptures and examples of submitting to the church and submitting to elders. I think that could be a sermon of them by itself, and we've heard some in the past. I'm not going to go further on that topic, but let's now look at submission to God. Submission to God. Once again, we've read James, but let's read a couple additional scriptures around the concept of submission and submission to God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 28. I'm sorry, verse 18, Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. I went to a larger print Bible, and I think I'm going to have to go to a larger print notes, just increase the font size. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God has put all things in submission or subjection, same Greek word, hupotasso, to Jesus Christ. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 9. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We are subject to, we are in subjection to the Father. And once again, I don't think there'll be too many arguments around that, but what does that mean? How do we apply that? We cannot separate the concept of submission into who we want to submit to, or how we want to apply it, or not want to apply it. The concept of submission applies to all. It's not for us to select which applies. I'm willing to submit to God, because God's perfect, but others, Well, if I like him, if I like them, if I respect them, then I'm willing to submit. If not, you know, God's way applies evenly and consistently within our lives. We don't pick and choose. Well, why is this so important? God talks about submission. Why, you know, why is it important for submission to be such a critical topic? For us to be able to submit to God, for us to be able to submit to the church and the elders, for us to submit to authority, and for us to submit to one another. Why is this important? We're in Hebrews. Let's go back to chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But if one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. God's plan in the kingdom of God is establishing his kingdom on this earth, providing that opportunity to his family, to his saints. God wants to know that we can submit. God wants to know that in every part of our lives, in this age, he wants to know, are we willing to submit? Before he puts his creation in total submission to his saints. If you read Ezekiel and Isaiah, he created a being that rebelled, a being that was not willing to submit, followed by a third of the angels. He does not want a repeat. He wants to know, in working with the saints, will we submit to him? Will we submit to his way? Or are we going to say, I know better? For part of our being an example to others, then is our ability to show an attitude of submission. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. You know, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. A beautiful example of, once again, a submission to God and what it means, and how it is an example. Why submission is important is God wants to know, will we adhere to his ways? That's why submission is so important. So how do we develop this attitude of submission? If God has created the concept of submitting to him and submitting to one another, he wants to know that we indeed will be faithful, as we heard about in the sermonette. How do we develop this attitude of submission? What things do we need to keep in mind and bear in mind? And I'd like to highlight a few points. First, how we develop this attitude of submission is to have a spirit of humility. We read the first part of 1 Peter 5. Let's read the rest. 1 Peter chapter 5. We read, "Be younger men, likewise be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." When we read, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility, the Greek word for humility, it's tapenosthrune, which once again, I won't spell it for you. I didn't write down the Greek number though, sorry about that, but you can look it up. It's a word that means to have a humble opinion of oneself, a lowliness of mind. It is an important quality that makes up the mind of Christ. For example, in Philippians 2 and verse 3, where it talks about putting on the mind of Christ, the same Greek word is used. For us to be willing to submit, we have to have a spirit of humility. When we hold to the theory that we know more or that we are superior, well, don't you know that I've been in the church for X amount of years? Or don't you know that I have a certain IQ? Or don't you know, when we hold to that theory, we fight against this concept of humility. And it constrains our ability then and therefore to submit. Because if we think we're better, we're not going to want to submit. It starts off with a spirit of humility. The next step, next thing as far as developing an attitude of submission, is that we need to have a willingness to yield. We need to recognize a willingness to yield, to become part of something beyond ourselves. A willingness to yield. Remember my first experience with roundabouts was actually driving in Europe. And if you want to be successful driving in Europe, because of all the roundabouts, of all the single lane streets, of all the, you've got to be willing to yield. Our human nature will allow us to question ourselves for being willing to give up on our position. Once again, if we have a certain set of knowledge or thoughts or ideas, our human nature will fight us and make us say, "Am I willing to give up my position?" While never giving up God's permission, are we willing to sacrifice our own pride? Yes, we can be technically correct in our position. We can be correct in our understanding, in our stance. But are we contributing to a spirit of mutual submission? Are we willing to yield? Some examples have helped out with different feast sites. And music and sound different feast sites, and it's been interesting being part of various conversations and meetings, because one year I'll hear statements from the coordinator, or those involved in planning the feast, is that we do not want to do that this year because it's silly, or people don't like it, or I don't like it. I don't think it really honors the Feast of Tabernacles. Where the next year, the exact same topic, it's like, we've got to do that. That's such a wonderful thing to do, and people love it, and they're looking forward to it. The same topic. The exact same topic. There's different views. There's different understandings. There's different talents. There's different fill in the blank. And for us to work together, for us to become one body, one spirit, under one Lord and Savior, we've got to be willing to give on our positions and our thoughts, willing to allow others. Because the allowing others to lead, the allowing others to decide, that may be contrary to our belief. And once again, you may be 100% right. Of course, I have said it before many times, probably too many times, but my favorite Church of God joke, you get three deacons in a room, you get five opinions on how to set up chairs. I've got a good one from the ministry as well, but I'll leave that one to myself. There are differences of opinions, but are we willing to drive towards a common belief and a common purpose? Now, the caveat is that that doesn't mean we have to, you know, have no opinion, or we shouldn't have an opinion, or that we become pushovers and that, you know, I'm not talking that, but I'm talking about our willingness to yield for the greater good. And once again, I'm not talking about contrary to God's way and God's law, but our own personal thoughts and opinions. Are we willing to yield? The other thing, the other point I wanted to cover when it comes to submitting is, once again, submission being a two-way street. But oftentimes in this relationship of someone in authority, submission is something that can be given or is given, but cannot be demanded. In other words, submission is one that is done by the person. I'm submitting to someone else. I can't make someone else submit to me. Otherwise, it just becomes some form of slavery or browbeating or what have you. Submission is something that we do ourselves and that we give. And if we are in a position of authority, whether it be in one of these examples we talked about already, do we recognize that we cannot force submission? God has created in us free will. And as we talked about, one of the foundations of his bringing many sons to glory is a willful submission to God. God is looking for a willful submission to him. I think it might be a little bit presumptuous for us in authority to say, well, you must be willing to submit to me because I am in authority. Submission is something given, once again, from the selves. In society and in the church, once again, this is something that maybe we haven't practiced in the past to the most spiritually mature level. As husbands, have we fully recognized and appreciated the concept of becoming one flesh and loving our wives? Or do we take the, once again, submission too far, or as ministers? So let's look at Luke chapter 9. How do we manage this coming from a teacher or someone responsible for something at church that you now rely upon someone else's involvement? How do we approach this concept? because there might be those who, once again, disagree with us. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51. When the days were approaching for his ascension, Jesus' ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" They didn't submit to you. "Do you want me to call down fire to consume them?" Verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You know, our role and our responsibility is to nurture, to teach, to help someone along in their journey. It is not our role to try to force someone into submission. If we are in authority or not, what are we doing in our approach that invites a more submissive relationship? Are we respectful? Are we nurturing? Are we allowing the other person the opportunity to submit to us, and us in turn submitting to them? Because it's, once again, what can we do to help? I remember having a chat with counseling a guy that was kind of struggling a bit in his marriage. And I was asking some open questions, and one of the questions I asked was, "Well, what do you think the issue is?" And his response, once again summarizing, was, "She does not want to submit to me." So I said, "Well, I appreciate that. What can you do?" So this week, coming week, think about what you can do to help. What can you do to help in that relationship, to help in this marriage relationship? And once again, for the sake of brevity, it was a longer conversation. So next week, we chatted again, and I asked him how it went. And he said, I think you're right. I realize that I need to do a better job at convincing her that she needs to submit to me. I'm starting to question my ability as a counselor there, because that's not quite where we were headed. What are we doing to better understand the needs of the other person, to once again, to help nurture or grow? Are we more like in John and James, and when someone doesn't listen to us, we're willing to call down fire in heaven? That doesn't change, and we're not talking about giving up standards. God's standards are God's standards. We're not saying that it doesn't matter then what anyone does, and everyone be themselves, and God loves all, which of course he does. But what are we doing, and what can we do to help nurture and bring someone along? Are we tuned to the needs and not to the shortcomings? We must be careful that we do not allow other people's challenges, just like we have our own challenges, we have our own struggles and our own walk, that we don't allow other people's shortcomings to short-circuit God's instructions and our duty as a Christian to dwell with understanding, to love, and to grow. God's plan of salvation is just an incredible plan. You compare it with some of the world's holidays and the meanings behind and why things are done. And I'm very appreciative and humbled that God has opened our eyes to understand God's plan of salvation and what it means to bring many sons to glory and for this opportunity to extend to all of mankind. And we know that it is more than Christ returning to this earth. We understand that we have a part in that plan. We have a part as his saints. And God has extended an offer to us as his saints to be a part of that glorious way of life, of teaching. God wants to know, are we in an attitude of submission? Part of our efforts in promoting this way of life that brings happiness to all is that attitude of submission. Submitting to one another, submitting to the elders and to the ministry, submitting to authority, and obviously, ultimately, submitting to God. It is by developing that Christian trait that we can be an example for God in this world and in the kingdom of God to come.